Well, we are back, huh? We're back at the Nine Club, everybody. Let me tell you something. Today, we got a special guest. Mr. Tony Ferguson is with us. How are you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for flying down from Vancouver. And, you know, it's like, man, just to do the show. I mean, it's only, what, 2-3 hour flight,
quick,
you know?
Quick
flight, yeah.
2 hours.
What's going on up there in Vancouver? Everything good? Like, the last time I was up there, me and MJ went up there for Ghost Gate Day.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
did Ambleside.
Yeah.
Was doing a fundraiser to remodel, and they remodeled it.
Yeah.
You ever go over there? And
yeah, actually, I do kind of go there because it's close to where I live. I live on that side.
Okay.
So
it's a nice skate park, dude.
Yeah,
right by the water.
Like, yeah,
man.
It's nice.
Vancouver's a nice city, man.
You've never been to Vancouver?
I've never been to Vancouver.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
A lot of the spots are gone, though, right? Like, all the OG spots are kind of done.
Yeah. It's weird. There's, like, new ones popping out of the OG spots, though. Like just skating it differently and,
right.
you know,
right.
they revamped some stuff and now, oh, it's a spot again.
What was that one spot? You guys always used to skate with the curb, with the ledges. And then there was that little bump at the end on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a new spot. It was like a little plaza.
Right.
That just ledges everywhere. Like, yeah, that thing was crazy.
Dude, it looked fun.
In the middle. Yeah. I mean, back then we had the whole city, like a run of like, it's like 10 blocks, like spots in every. Like it was good back in the day. Oh. Nothing cap, no security.
Right.
You know, and then it just got blitzed.
Yeah.
Everyone going there, like teams flying up to like.
Sure.
Just kind of burned it.
The bump at the end, I always wonder, because it doesn't look much. It doesn't look like much.
It wasn't much.
It wasn't
much. It was like, you're boosting up bump there?
Right. Yeah. It kind of, yeah, one of those things.
Kind of like.
Yeah.
Wishing a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed there was no trash can or anything.
No, just it was like that. A little like angle, like
little incline.
Yeah.
Then there was that rail you can go over on the side. It was like a green rail.
Yeah.
There was like no run up for that too. It was like super quick.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you could go over like one rail here and then on the side.
Oh yeah.
There was
yeah.
like a lot of stuff there.
Mm.
But it was just like police, 15 minutes, run, cops. Oh, so, like, you know, it was like that, like all day.
Love
like,
park style.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys had the rail, that guy switch backside tail slid.
Keenan switch croak.
Yeah, dude.
Rick Howard back in the day did everything down it. I mean, yeah, and then when everyone came, like got murdered, like Costin. And
yeah, because you grew up with Rick in a, because you're from the East Coast of Canada.
Yeah, I grew up in Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Which was like East Coast Canada in between Toronto and Montreal.
Okay. Yeah, Wade DeSarmo.
Yeah, Wade's from there. Yeah. And Spencer Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of dope dudes come out of there, bro. Yeah.
And then, you know, I moved to Vancouver later with my family when I was like 15 or something.
Oh, okay. And you had already started skating at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because Ottawa, I mean, back then, I mean, cold city, snow. Like, how did you even like start skating?
Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah.
For sure.
Sure.
I started skating just... Honestly, I think it was like Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Like seeing that, and then like I had never really seen a skateboard before.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my friend has one, like, or down the street. And we just remember me and my brother like stole it and like didn't give it back. And we just started skating, sharing it every day.
You stole your first board.
Well, we had to give it back. Like a couple months later, we had to give it back and get boards. Yeah.
But I mean, like skate parks, indoor park, was there anything out there at that time?
No.
So you're just, even in the winter, garage, underground.
Yeah, that place was crazy. We would skate in like underground garages for the winter with like exhaust, like, you know, six levels down, freezing.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was it. It was like underground. There was even like... There was good stuff that was covered like by like an overpass, but you're outside skating like a handrail, like at, you know,
third layers on
minus 20,
I know, right? Yeah. Gloves, long johns.
Yeah. Dedicated.
Yeah. Seriously. When you moved to Vancouver, were you already getting good? Any sponsorship?
Oh, I was good.
Oh, you were good. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was just getting like sponsored.
Oh.
And I got sponsored by Tommy Guerrero. Is like the first person who ever hooked me up. before Real started, I had met them, but we could get into that.
How did you even...
Through Powell?
I went to this skate camp in Boston. Like, my friend was going there, like, oh, you can just go skate there.
Oh.
And there's a bunch of pros there. I didn't really know anything. So I went with him.
Was it the Interskate?
Yeah, that yeah. one.
Oh, Roger's from Boston.
Oh, you are? Yeah. That's right. Huh. Yeah, that the roller skating rink. So we went, and I met Sal Barbier, Tommy Guerrero, and just, like, skated all week with them. And, like, and Sal was kind of like, oh, you should get, like, I'll flow you some boards, because I wanted to be on H Street.
All right.
Actually, I already got some boards from,
yeah,
like, Eddie O'Gara and Carol I've met before. But
how are you getting boards? Because, I mean, Canada's a different beast, right? It's like, you know...
Yeah, they would just come up and do it. No, yeah.
No.
Back then,
no.
They'd come up and do a demo. They'd see you.
Oh.
I think that was like your only chance. Like,
were they doing in the underground parking lot?
Yeah, it was cold. Like,
right.
8 months of the year.
Okay, so you were getting boards from them already. H Street, you got a couple H Street boards.
I got a couple H Street boards. Huh. And then I met those guys in Boston, and I was like, yeah, I really wanted to get on H Street, but I kind of felt like, they were, you know, there's like 6,000 people on H Street Flow. Like, I didn't know at that time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Tommy was like, oh, we could get you on Powell. And I was just kind of like, yeah, sure. Like, I didn't know.
Right.
But I went home, and like a month later, maybe, like that story, like Tommy Guerrero called my house. Hey, it's Tommy Guerrero. I was like, what? I don't even remember giving him my number.
Your number.
But he was like, we're starting this new company. It's called Real Skateboards.
Wow.
And it's like me and Jim Thibault and like these guys, you want to ride? I was like, yeah. Like, and he was like, what do you want? You want Indie, Spitfire? You want to be on those? Okay, send a package tomorrow. Like,
wow.
Just laced up right away.
No way.
And then, yeah, I was out there like so disconnected from like, they sent like a team list. I think I still have it. It's crazy. It was like, Real Skateboards, like right when it was starting. And there was like people's names and their addresses handwritten and just photocopied.
Why so did they send you that?
Just like, here are the guys on the team, get to know them. Like, yeah. You know,
oh my God.
So it was like,
send them a letter.
Yeah.
You send them a letter.
Pen pals, yeah. Real pen pals.
Postcard, yeah.
I think so, yeah. It was Henry Sanchez, Solomon Aga, Tommy, Jim. Who else was on there? Like Tony Henry, maybe Corey Chrysler. Like that was like the team.
Corey Chrysler was on there?
Yeah, Corey Chrysler.
Well, no way.
Yeah. Maybe I'm missing someone, but that was like, so it was like a little thing. But I didn't know who any of those people were. Like at that point, I was probably like 14, you know, 14. 13. Yeah. So I was like, Henry Sanchez. Like who's
this guy?
Right. But then when I moved to Vancouver, I moved with my family to Vancouver. Then like, I met all these skaters and like everyone was sponsored.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like Colin McKay, Sluggo, Moses, all those guys. They're already all sponsored.
Okay.
So like I didn't know anyone before that was like...
They were the same age as you pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of years difference here and there. Like, but
yeah.
And then Rick too, and Rick Howard.
I mean, I'm the same age as, you know, Guy and all these dudes. And I used to look at them like they were way older than me.
And it's like 2 years.
Yeah. Like, it's like, they're like a year older. Yeah. You know, but they're such these big, like, people.
Well, Rick was already like pro, I think, when I met him. But he was like always in California. He'd go to California, he'd come back to Vancouver for a bit,
right?
See his mom, and like back and forth.
Okay,
and I met him then. But he was like pro on Blockhead already.
Gotcha.
Was there a certain spot you guys skated that you met everyone at, or it was like a skate park or something?
Yeah, it was that art gallery, that like the big art gallery in downtown Vancouver. They have just like curbs. Like little ledges, small curbs. That was like the spot every day.
Yeah. So would you guys go all skate to get like Moses and all? Like, was that like your clique?
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny there. Like there was probably like 10 skaters in the whole city. Like that's what it felt like. And it was just those guys.
And they were
like, they're all sponsored and pro. There wasn't like a lot of other crews. Like it was small. I'm sure there was, but.
Right. Right.
It was like pretty small. We had the run of like. Start here and then you go down the hill to this spot and then you go there and you like it was like a skate park.
Yeah, you had your path, right?
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Wow. And then so the Real thing was happening. You were sponsored by Real.
I was sponsored by Real.
How was that going with you being up in Vancouver?
Well, Sluggo was there too. He was on Rio.
Sluggo was on Rio.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So eventually, I went down SF, and hung out and skated EMB and met everyone. And
was so, that a trip going down there?
Yeah,
you almost had a pass though. You were.
I had a pass. And, yeah. Yeah, I had a pass. I showed up at EMB with Tommy.
Oh, so you were, yeah.
And like skated the seven.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like I don't know. I knew some of the kids that were on Real already. So it was, I feel like I got a pass.
Yeah.
But I do remember I skated the seven. Like they took me down there. They were like, you should 360 ollie it or something like that. I think Jim like pushed me, you know, like do it. Like you got a good one. Go.
And I back three that thing.
And I back threed it like second try.
Seriously. Wow.
Damn. But I think Chico had been trying it for like a couple weeks.
Oh, no. Like, who's a G-Dog? I know,
right? He might still be mad at me.
Holding a little bit of a grudge.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't like a vibe. Like it was, you're on Real. Like you were kind of part of.
Yeah. And how were you supposed to know unless Chico and somebody told you?
It's I didn't
two
know.
Tries. Nobody has time to tell you.
No one told me. Yeah. But you have to know those things before you go to EMB.
Like. I guess
you
so.
Gotta know what's.
It's funny though, like back then, like if just like someone did a trick, that trick was off limits.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can't do it down there.
That was cool.
But Real only lasted like a couple of years.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe a couple of years at the most.
Yeah, and then Plan B.
Yeah,
Rick Howard asked you.
Right.
How did that even come about? I mean, obviously you're filming, but
yeah.
Did you get on Plan B with like a sponsor tape or?
No, so I was in SF for the Back to the City contest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of shit happened during that Back to the City thing.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I was there and I was just skating and everyone was like, would come to EMB and just like sit down and watch. Like, you know, it was like everyone, Mike Trinasky. And I remember Guy and Tim, Gavin, were like sitting on the block and I was skating like all day. Just like skating, they were like, hey, like get on blind. Like they were like super cool, super nice. They're like, let's get on blind. And I was like, what? Blind? Like I didn't even get it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was talking to them. I was like, oh, maybe. And then Rick was there too. And I think like that night or the next day, Rick was like, just chill, don't do it. Just chill. And then I think within that, like a few days that week, like Rick called me. He's like, I got Chernasky on the phone. Like, you should just ride for Plan B.
Wow, dude.
It was sick. It was really sick.
And then, so did you have to call up like Tommy and Jim and tell them?
And that was like, you know, you don't want to quit. Like, that was hard.
And you're still a kid.
You like, don't really know how to deal with it.
Right. Did you deal with it? Decently?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
Okay.
I'm sure they weren't stoked. But,
but I mean, Plan B, it's such a fucking opportunity.
Yeah, and it was like my friends, I knew these guys. Yeah,
totally.
And Plan B was popping off.
Popping.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that questionable video was like so, you know.
Changed skateboarding.
Seriously.
Changed everything.
Crazy.
And they were like the best, everyone on there. It's like, so it was a little overwhelming, but at the same time, like I was like, I was working in Vancouver.
Oh, like a job.
Well, I was in school, in high school, and I had like two jobs.
Two jobs.
Wow. Yeah.
And so my parents were like, kind of fell on hard times. I was like helping out. And
okay.
And then I was working and skating, and they were like, come down and like, you should get on, come back down here. And I was like, I can't really, you know? And then Rick's like, no, we'll work it out. Like Mike, just call, like Mike's going to call you. Just tell him what you need, like how much money you need a month. And like,
that's kind of a gnarly thing to tell somebody.
And just, it'll work out. So like, I was like, I need this much. And he was like, yeah, done. Cool.
You're like, I should ask for more.
I know. Yes. Right.
It was crazy because I think at the time, like, I don't think amateurs got paid. Like, I think it was like what he said. It was like there's amateurs aren't getting paid.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was like really helped. And then it was like, I can go down to, you know, California and film for this
jobs.
Video.
I mean,
it was like dishwashing
jobs.
And then another like stock.
Yeah, but still that's taking away from skating and filming. And, you know, you got the virtual reality is going to be coming out, right?
Yeah.
Like, did they even tell you guys? Like,
I mean, that's what they were like, we're filming a video. Like, you got to come down. They were already filming.
Oh, they're okay.
Like, I think I didn't have a ton of time, I remember.
Hmm.
I don't know how long that was. It couldn't have been more than, like, 6 months, 8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just look back, like, by the time, like, I was on Plan B and Girl started and, like, the virtual reality came out, then we started Girl in that video. That's, like, a year and a half. Like, mm-hmm. It felt like an eternity.
Totally.
But that was, like, a year or something.
It was fast.
Yeah.
So I don't think I was on that long. Like, I went down a couple times and filmed, and then I filmed at home.
Okay.
And I was like the end, like I was, yeah, I was like kind of like the last guy getting footage.
You had a great part, man. What is Souls of Mischief?
But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's good. I like short parts.
Yeah, keep it short. Short and sweet, dude. Yeah.
No, that was a great part.
Were you filming with Rosenberg?
Yeah, when I was down. Oh. Yeah, or they come up a couple times.
Who was
yeah.
filming in Vancouver?
There was like guys that filmed. Like, so Jake filmed probably majority of it. Mm-hmm. And then there was like this other guy, like Jeff Moore, I think. Hmm. He doesn't film anymore. But he was like always filming Colin and those guys.
Jody Morris, did he film at all? Or was he just taking photos?
He might have filmed, but he was taking photos. Yeah. I don't remember him filming.
Did you feel a lot of pressure coming in to film for that video?
I think it was more fun. Like, it wasn't like pressure. You're like 16 or 70. You know, it wasn't like... But it was fun. But yeah, it was... I mean, hearing like the things they were doing. Because Mike was really good at like hyping... You know, like, these guys are doing this and that. And I remember them, like, getting, you know, like, oh, they're doubling their paychecks to do the sports arena. Like, you know, like, really pushing, like, you know, if you do this.
Just right. incentivizing everything.
No way. And you're so, like, well, I mean, there was some pressure. Back nose. I kickflip front nose, slid down the hubba.
Yeah, that was on my own. But, it, like, the pressure was it's good, though.
Yeah.
Like, it works.
Yeah.
It, like, puts you... Like, it definitely works.
It's fun, but at the same time, like, you want to keep... Like, these are gnarly dudes.
Yeah.
Like, you want to kind of keep up and, you know... I bring up the kickflip front nose because I love that, you know. I always associate that little hubba with
really?
You. Yeah. Yeah.
I associate you with kickflip front nose to fakie, like, regardless.
Yeah, that's true.
That's, like,
no, that's true.
That's your thing.
Yeah.
I love and that. Backside flips, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Virtual reality comes out, and not soon after, Girl...
Right.
Was that like, did Rick tell you what was going on? Because I think a lot of people were in the dark. Like, nobody
kind
of
knew.
No,
I
knew
everything. You? Because I was staying with Rick.
Oh.
So I was staying with Rick and Megan.
Okay.
And like, when I come down to film for Plan B, it was like I was staying with Rick.
Right.
So they were talking about like, oh, we should do something. Like, I was like privy to the whole thing. Like,
okay.
I knew everything that was happening.
Were you wondering if you were going to like...
No, I think he was just like including me.
Okay.
Which was awesome.
Right.
It was like... I guess. I mean, I think it was just right place at the right time, basically, you know, like staying at Rick's house and he's starting a new company.
Were you on board or were you kind of skeptical?
No, for sure. I was on board.
Yeah.
Cause like Rick is the one who put me on. Rick hooked me up. So like, of course, like I didn't know them as well as I knew Rick.
Sure.
Like Chernasky. And
sure.
So
even after he told you the name, you were still.
Yeah. I remember sitting around trying to come up with names and how to do, like, what the name's going to be. And like that whole process.
Yeah.
Which is like, you learn a lot from that too.
Yeah.
And how, you know, starting brands and like,
I mean, the name's important, dude.
The name is like everything almost,
you
like,
know,
but then you make it what it is. Like,
girls, totally. You don't even second think it right now. But when it first came out, I think people were like, Girl, this is weird.
Yeah,
I mean, team is just insane, but
it doesn't.
Crazy.
It almost doesn't matter what the name is.
Yeah,
you just
yeah.
make it.
And then so right away they're like, so the switch over. Did you have to call Chernasky or did you have to?
I don't think I even because we like it was crazy. I don't know if you remember. Like we went on a tour, like a Plan B tour. Mm-hmm. But it was actually
all
like,
wearing girl shirts.
It was already like changing over to like.
But they didn't even know, though.
They didn't
know. You were all wearing girl shirts.
Yeah, and that's how we were going to launch it, like on the road, showing up at a demo wearing girl shirts.
Like, we're the girl team, not the Plan B team, though.
Yeah.
Did they say anything, though? I mean, were they like, what the fuck is this?
I think it was
this?
A pretty, like, it's just like everyone's gone. There was no, like, phone calls. It was just like,
wow,
they're gone. Like, they heard it, like, through the phone. You know, just, these guys are like.
They have the band, and they're just out.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy.
But I remember showing up to World, because I flew in that day to go on that tour.
Okay.
And everyone was like just getting shit, like packing boxes. This is like the last box you're ever going to pack, you know, at World.
Right.
So like I showed up late and
Javante
I was like
cleaning the warehouse out.
Dude, I swear. Like I was I was like, I'm going to get a box. They're like, your box is already in the van. Like, Tony Ferguson on it. Like, Javonte packed it.
No way.
And then there was another one, Tony Ferguson over here. I was like, no, I need my own box. Wow. Those, like, wide, those big, yeah. like, 10-board.
They're big boxes back there.
Big boxes. Yeah. You could pack a lot of stuff in there.
This episode is brought to us by AG1. It is very important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for years I have been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands out there, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. It's also researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their respective fields. I know that I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard, guess what, typically only tested for 10. That's why the 9 Club has partnered with AG1 for so long, because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get your free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/9club. All you got to do in your URL, type drinkag1.com/9club at checkout. Go give it a try.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Were you guys just like not happy with what was going on back then? Or you guys just, oh, let's just start something new?
I think they were. You know, I wasn't like, I think Rick and Mike were like, yeah, they wanted to change. They wanted to do their own thing. Right. I don't know if it was like so much happy. It's probably, you know, he wanted to do his own thing.
Yeah.
It's funny, Rick, like, I know his mom like pretty well, and like he dropped out of school in 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm gonna move to California, be a pro skater, start my own company.
Oh, he said like, that in
like
9th grade.
And she's like, okay, okay, do it. Yeah. So like I think like he always wanted to do that. Yeah. I don't know if it's if they're that unhappy, or I think they, you know, it was a natural thing for him to do.
I think it's just that is the natural. A lot of pros want to branch off on their own.
Yeah, you know, you're not on board with every single thing. You want to do it your own way.
Sure.
It's like organically happens. Yeah. Like, plus, but I didn't care. Like, I was just like, I'm going with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like unhappy. I was there for like, 6 or 8 months maybe.
I know, that is quick. And plus, I mean, Megan and Spike, and I mean, it's a good crew to branch off and do your own thing
with. Yeah, there was no like worries. Like, Megan had all the relationships and the business like experience, and then Spike, and it was pretty epic. Yeah.
Perfect storm, right?
Perfect storm.
Yeah. All those skaters, like,
dude, I remember the first 411 commercial. I think it was Eric doing a line through the courthouse, and the names were popping up, and I was just like blown away. I was like,
was it a 411 commercial?
I think it was.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember if it was 411. Kelly, you don't. Maybe it was before your 411 time.
Before me.
Yeah, no. As soon as the logo pops up, I got to go back and find that fucking line. But I was blown away because I grew up in Santa Monica, World Blind. All this shit was my shit.
Yeah.
And then here's this new thing. I was like, whoa. This is now my new shit.
I got some new boards by those guys.
Seriously. Oh, yeah. New boards. And then, Goldfish. Right away. Start working on it.
Yeah. That's crazy. What I mean. I think like the virtual reality was done and we left, and then it was like, start filming. And that whole thing was like a year.
Weren't you guys bummed on like filming all the time too for Plan B?
I think they were burnt out, but then, you know, we wanted to do our own video, but like a more, I think the way Rick wanted to do it was more like, fun, like the POW videos, like really inspired by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why like Lance the whole was animal in,
and
like,
all that,
like more fun video than like bangers, you know, like,
yeah.
But then it just turned into like you're filming a, you know, girl video.
Yeah.
You want to have some bangers in there.
Yeah.
What year was it? 93 Goldfish?
93 Plan B.
And then Mouse was
It might have been 94. We started 94. In 93 and it came out in 94.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh yeah, because you quit 90. And
then 93 we quit.
Yeah. And then Mouse came out shortly at, what year was Mouse?
96, I think.
95, 96.
This is all so fucking quick, dude. Plan B, Video Part, Goldfish, Mouse. You were working. It's a long...
But that time feels, it feels like, oh, that was like 5-10 years. But sure. Like, you know?
Right.
Well, when you go from like Goldfish to Mouse, I feel like skateboarding, like the level of skateboarding went huge from right then to right then. I don't know, Costin's part in that.
Yeah. Yeah, Mouse was insane. Guy.
How did you choose your song for Mouse?
Yeah, I chose every song and every skate video.
Oh, you did?
Until,
oh,
sick. Like, Ty. Until it was like, it's a montage. We're getting this.
Right,
song.
Right.
But we always chose every.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Plan B, Souls of Mischief.
Yeah.
What was Goldfish?
Goldfish, I don't know, for me was like, oh, the
was it the
group home?
Group home, yeah. Group home. The so-called Friends one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it was like on a fifth generation tape, like. Shh.
Oh, yeah, was it? Yeah.
Yeah, Maza was talking about that in some interview recently.
Oh,
but,
really? Oh.
But I was like, I want this song. They're like, it's the quality sucks. You can't use it. I'm like, I want that sound.
Right.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Because it wasn't out yet. It was like a bootleg.
Gotcha.
It was like,
hey, he talked about it on the show.
Yeah, he talked
about it. Oh, did
on
he
this,
really?
On yeah, this it was on this.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
And then what did you use for Mouse?
Oh yeah, Mouse was this like, yeah, it was like a original like song, like original like breakbeat. Like I forget the name of the artist, but yeah.
Yeah.
It had been sampled. It was like old 70s soul.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I
forget who it was.
And then so, but when you're filming Plan B and all this stuff, you're still Am, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Girl, when did you turn pro for Girl?
I was still Am on Girl for like a couple of years. Maybe I turned pro at one of those Slam City, like when the first one.
Right.
Maybe it was 95.
Oh. Did Rick?
No.
Were you
no
hounding?
Like,
were you hounding
no
Rick?
Like, hey, surprise board. I was hounding him. I was like, "Where's my?" No.
Yeah.
Come where's on, my girl? Like,
yeah.
Was popping bottles in the club.
You sure? right.
Pro. Sparklers.
Yeah.
Sparklers. Yeah.
No, it was just. He's like, "You're gonna go pro. You're gonna get a board. Like, what do you want for your graphics? Like, bring something in. You know, because we were involved in everything. Like the editing, the like. Because I mean, we weren't editing, but we'd sit with Meza and like, you know, like. Be involved in that, the song, like the boards for a long time. That's why there's so many shitty graphics.
What's
I'd bring in like a book, like,
right.
I like this one. Like,
yeah. Well, everybody had that, the classic Girl OG, the first board, right?
I wasn't in that. And then I had a couple like wacky.
Oh, really?
Wacky graphics.
Wait, so you didn't get one of the OG?
No, because that's when it started and I wasn't pro. I was still Am.
Oh.
I think me and Jaron were Am still.
So you never had an OG?
No. Well, maybe like
eventually,
a re-release,
maybe,
like when they did
like a
anniversary.
Oh.
But I wasn't part of the original ones.
Yeah. Wait, Jaron was Am too? Who turned pro first? You or Jaron?
Maybe together.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe I think together.
Together, huh?
Because we were like the only Ams for a minute.
The Dubs.
Debs.
Well, man, they're going to turn pro, man.
has he done one of these?
Yeah. Jaron's a man, dude.
Jaron's a man.
So you turn, and then, so Slam City turned pro, and then...
were you just like, I'm sorry, Chris.
No, go ahead.
Were you living in Vancouver still, or did you move to LA at that point?
I was living in LA, because I was living with Eric. I was living with Eric Costin. Like, Tim and Eric lived together.
Yeah.
Remember that apartment? Yeah.
Near the Ralphs or something?
Yeah, by the right Sunset and Alta Vista.
Okay.
Right by Ralphs, yeah.
Yeah.
And Tim lived there with him, and then Tim was moving out to move in with his girlfriend, and I moved in with Eric.
Oh.
But that was like the crash pad.
That was how, yeah.
Dude, what was it like back then skating with him? Like, you just go out and just hear the crazy shit that Eric did pretty much every day?
I mean, yeah, we were just all together. That's what was crazy. Like, we skated together, like... every day, all day, like the whole team, like didn't matter, like, oh, he's got that spot, we like all skated the same spot. That's why the videos kind of look like we're all skating like Cal together, State or we're all kind of, yeah, We just skated together.
Yeah, the Cal State with the three up and then the ledge, three down.
Yeah.
I never went there. I always wanted to go there.
It's still there.
Is it still there?
It's like really shitty ground. Oh, it's like rooftop, like that gritty, like soft ground. Yeah. But you can still skate it, but your board just gets chomped.
Damn.
Yeah.
When you came down to LA, whatever, did you guys get a work visa or anything like that? Or
yeah, I did. I had to. Rick and Megan had to get like a lawyer. And I got a P1, like a sports visa.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that took, that took some time to get.
How was
like
that?
They had the lawyers that get like the hockey players like sports visas.
Oh.
Yeah, it's called a P1. So I had to do that.
How many years did you get?
I think it was maybe 3 or 4 years, but they kind of just renew if you have like any like you know editorial out about you if you like they just renew it renewed for like a long time.
Oh really? Yeah. So you kind of would just send them stuff to update
it. Yeah, the lawyer would just update it and like you have new stuff, like send me the press, like or whatever, like press.
Right.
Doing like a back tail. Yeah.
That went through. So you moved in with Costin.
It was funny because Tim moved out,
yeah,
and he moved up the street to just off Hollywood, so I helped Tim move. This is crazy. Like, we were helping Tim move into his new apartment and like holding the doors, the elevators. Like, it was just, you know, when people are moving.
Sure, yeah.
And like, I'm helping him move it, like a plant or something. And like, Tim's like, hey, buddy, hold the door of the elevator. And like, we run into the elevator and like, this plant's like hitting this dude in the face. And Tim's like, hey, bud, how's it going? Like, just talking to everyone. And I look over, it's Tupac.
What?
And Tupac lived in Tim's building at that time. It was crazy. So we would see him all the time.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
Did he say, get that plant out of my
face? I don't think he was like that psyched on
us. Oh, yeah. No way. That's
and then
crazy.
Like he parked next to Gavin. So his parking stall was next to Gavin. He'd have like brand new Lexus, like skid, like the thing was just wrecked. Like, windows open, CDs in the car, like
no
Impala the next week, like wrecked. There would all be like scratch from like coming in. Like,
did you guys know? Did you guys? I mean, right away, did you know? Like,
yeah, I knew right away.
Right away,
Tim knew.
Oh no,
Tim. Like till after, but Tim was like talking him up, like talking to him.
Yeah. Tim's good at that stuff.
That was been a funny conversation.
Yeah, I would love to see.
Like, that's Tupac. Yeah. He just got out. Like, he's on death row. This is. Yeah, and then we'd see, like, he'd see us all the time skating out front and,
wow,
like, people waiting for him, seeing, like, Suge there one time.
No,
what?
Seriously.
Dude?
Yeah, it was just off Hollywood, I think, Gardner and, you know, those, like, new apartments at that time.
I can imagine Tim and Tupac just having that.
I mean, I'm sure Tim has stories about it.
Yeah. I don't think he talked about that on the show.
He never said that.
He never said anything on the show.
I never heard that before. That's crazy.
It was funny.
Tupac. Yeah, that's amazing.
At that time too. Like,
sure.
That was like, I think he had just got out of jail and got on death row. And it was like, he was living down the hall from Tim.
That's that's
amazing. I mean, they were nice apartments.
Sure.
They were
right.
That's funny.
Damn, dude. And then so did we turn pro? What was it between Goldfish and Mouse, did you turn pro?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
95. They had that first Slam City Jam. I don't know when that was. And like, I was going pro and they're like, you should skate in the contest. I was like, what? Like,
were you contest dude?
No, not at all. I was like, I'm not down for, you know, but I like rolled around. And,
okay. You didn't enter.
I did enter.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but it was terrible.
No,
I think I did like a kickflip tail slide and then nothing else. You know, it was like one.
it was your hometown though, right?
Yeah.
Or not hometown, but you did.
Yeah, no, it was my home. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, contest though, man.
Well, that one was weird. It was on like a wood deck, the first one.
They built like a floor for it?
There wasn't a floor. It was like a deck and you're like skating on.
Really?
So the first one was like that. It was weird.
Who won that one?
I don't know.
Remember?
There's always good footage, though. There's lots of good skating, but I don't remember who won.
I don't remember who won that either.
What was like your most memorable, like on Girl? Because Girl, it went, you know, Goldfish, a little after Yeah Right.
Mm-hmm.
you like retired a couple years later.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, right. You're like, you had some fucking really good stuff. Yeah, like I was kind of surprised at you.
Kibbleback tail, the fucking gap tillage.
Oh, beneficial.
Yeah.
That people know as
Jaquan
now. Yeah. I mean, that thing is no joke, dude.
No joke.
That thing is fucking scary to fucking skate.
Yeah, that was probably my best move.
Switch manual right there.
I know. Yeah. But but seriously though, I was kind of like surprised that you kind of did you like actually quit? Did you milk
it? I mean, it was at the time it was like there new people getting on girl and like
Jeremy Rogers.
Rick and them were like, yeah. And yeah. P-Rod and them were like, oh, we need like new blood coming, like it's changing. There's like they were just always talking about it. And mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out what I was gonna do. You know, I was like, what the
fuck? But why? You were still kind of, killing it,
though. It was pretty early.
Yeah.
It was pretty early, and I had, this opportunity to do something, like, so I was like, okay, I guess, like, just go do that.
Oh. And, like, was that A-Life?
Yeah, kind of. We started this, like, little distribution company.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And A-Life, like, I was like, it was, like, my thing to go get, like, brands.
Oh.
Relevant brands.
And okay.
Like, A-Life was something I saw in New York. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Right.
Let's get that, and, it kind of turned into getting more involved with it. But yeah, that was like I could go do this, I guess.
Huh.
But I kind of felt at the same time, like, I could skate for a long, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I
guess, yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed like.
So is it kind of like a mutual thing?
Yeah, it was
like,
mutual.
Okay.
Like, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was mutual. Because there was like
pressure. Because Rick would never kick anybody off.
But it was like, you know? I'm sure I could have hung on,
sure,
and like I'm gonna like get more footage and yeah, but I was like, guys, trying to figure out like what to do, and that was a big thing. It was probably like, you know, you're in your late 20s.
I was gonna say, yeah, late 20s,
and you're like, what am I gonna do, like,
right,
like, no, like you have zero job skills at that point, like, you
know what I mean? Like, I mean, most, like, skaters, yeah,
but like, you've made a lot of connections throughout the years.
It's true.
Which is,
yeah, I mean, that's what it all comes down to,
right?
Yeah,
you know, it's like you're experience traveling the world, like all these people you meet, like I didn't realize it at the time, but that's kind of what it is.
It's absolutely,
it's like everything. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of great times on girl, for sure.
Like, oh, for sure,
like traveling, like, I mean, we went everywhere, like, mm-hmm, even those first couple of years we were like just like it, that's why it's felt busy, you know, like, mm-hmm, from Plan B to girl to like you're going to Japan, you're going to Europe, you're, yeah, going to Australia, like all in like 6 months, you're going all, you know, so
yeah,
it was busy.
Well, because everybody wanted girl in, yeah, their country and in their city,
yeah,
you know, so these distributors would just, I mean,
yeah,
like, let's do this.
We did the first ever girl trip, was like insane, like first European trip.
Okay.
So everyone on girl, like 10 people, but not Rick.
What?
And no team manager.
No team.
Send us over there. Imagine.
Good luck.
Like, everyone's like 17, like 18, 20 maybe.
Wait, was chocolate around then at that point? Oh, so it's just girls.
This was just girls.
Oh, okay.
And they send us there. And
but I'm sure
the distributor's got a deal with you.
I was going to say,
dealing with, yeah. So, but it's, we were like little shits.
Right.
Like, we get there. Right. I think we got to France, somewhere in France, and they were like, oh, here's your hotel. So they checked us into the hotel. And, like, we're all going to our rooms, and we're like, hey, like, there's a guy in my room. Like, everyone's like tripping. Like, there's a guy in my room. Like, where's the bathroom? Like, we just didn't know what
was. Is it a youth hostel?
It's a hostel.
Oh.
We're like, no, dude, we're not staying here. Like, fuck that. Like, and then the guy's just like, no. Like, this is your hotel. See you later. See you tomorrow for the demo. And like, Sheffy was like, no. He was just like, I remember him being like, he's like, no hotel, no skatey. Get us a hotel. And like, next thing you know, we're like staying at like the Ritz.
Like, seriously?
Yeah, like some crazy like old castle. It was crazy. Like,
I mean, Sheffy.
Yeah, Sheffy was like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Wow. So
we got to like the nicer hotel. And yeah, we were like little pricks. Like, everyone had like $1,000 phone bill from the hotel, just calling the phone home.
States,
got a girlfriend, like,
yeah,
calling back. Like, it was a mess. Like, no team manager, no nothing.
Was it, I mean, were they pissed, or were they, at the end of the day,
so, how, yeah, were they? This whole thing, it was a crazy trip. So then we went to Belgium.
Okay.
And we were like staying, we're supposed to do a demo in Belgium. And like, we were over it. we're like over these guys. We're like, why do we have to, like, we're not getting like the hotels we want. We're like bitching. And then
you guys should book your hotels yourself.
Right? Yeah. And then Eric was like, hey, we should go to, or like, I think someone was like, we should go to Amsterdam. It's like really close to here. Mm-hmm. Like everyone wanted to go to Amsterdam.
Right.
And Eric was like, I think I know how to get there. Pretty sure I know how to get there. You know how he's like,
you're gonna follow.
Like, okay. He's built in GPS.
He's built in GPS. Yeah. Like crazy. Like he's in Europe. He's like, I'll drive the van. I know how to get there. You just go. So like he drove. We didn't tell them. We skipped the demo. Took their van. Drove to Amsterdam.
No way.
And then we get to Amsterdam. We're like trying to find a hotel. We like find a hotel. Park the van. Go in for the night. Yeah. Whatever. Come out in the morning, van's gone.
Oh, shit.
Like, not our van. We're like, oh, van's gone. Oh, well. You know, like, such little pricks. Yeah. Van's gone. Like, and then we had to call the distributor. And we were like,
where the fuck are you?
Where the fuck are you guys? Like, you didn't do Belgium. You didn't do this. So we let, like, Sean talk to him. We let,
of course.
You know, Sean's talking to him. He's like. and then he's like telling him all this stuff. But yeah, now we're in Amsterdam. And like, and the guy's just so pissed.
I bet.
And then at the end, we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, tell him about the van. And he's like, yeah, and the van's gone. They were so mad. They were like, you guys are never coming back to Europe. Like, we have better skaters than you. And in Europe, like, you won't come back here again.
Did you ever figure out what happened to the van?
Yeah, so I guess the van got towed.
Oh, okay.
But like, what are we? We're in like a foreign country. Like, how do we look into that?
Yeah.
Van was just gone, and then we ended up chilling for like 2 or 3 days
in Amsterdam,
and flew back. Best and I don't ever. Even know how like we got the. I think Eric told me like he put the room on his card or something. Like, I don't even know how we were paying for all that
crazy.
At that point.
Crazy.
Like all the rooms, all the, like, I don't know how we
phone bills again, probably.
Phone bills again.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you guys took the van, because this is no cell phones, you guys were just gone. The distributor was probably like, our van's gone, these dudes are gone.
Yeah. Who are these guys?
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, yeah, Rick wasn't happy.
Dude, if you have Sheffy though, dude, everything's gonna be okay.
I know. It was amazing.
Everybody's gonna listen to him.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do whatever the fuck you want. Well, let's go back to the like the when you got out of girl and the A life stuff.
Okay.
How was that all? What was your role over there? Because you said you were doing the distribute, or what was it, kind of a distribution type thing?
Yeah. We started this distribution to just bring in some brands that were like missing in the market.
And okay. Is this for Canada
for Canada at the
gotcha.
Time. But that was like short lived. Like we basically brought in A-Life shoes.
Okay.
That were doing like a little collection of shoes and it like killed it. It like sold out. And we were like talking to those guys and they were like having issues with like, we can't make this stuff. We can't hit the minimums. We don't know how to manufacture. Mm-hmm. Like we need help. We need help. Like, so we were like, all right, we'll partner with you.
Oh.
And, but we'll like take the license for the shoes. We'll take the global license and give you guys a royalty on it.
Oh, interesting.
So, and then it ended up being like, I took it to a friend of mine in Japan, Charlie, who used to be our, Trading. Yep. He was our distributor for Girl for years. Like he would fly us all over there and I knew him for years.
Sure.
So I took it to him and he was like super interested. He's like, me and you do it and we'll get the global license. And he had factory connections but he was in Japan. Like he had like these connections and stuff, but he was just basically like, you go do it.
Okay.
I had like zero experience.
No experience.
Like, we need a whole new collection for next month. Like you go design it, you go develop it and go to Korea and do it.
Oh, wow.
And like run the company, like, you know, like me and, but he's in Japan. So it's like, I basically like had no experience like skating.
You had to learn on the fly.
Super, like just thrown into it and just like figure it out. So that, I mean, it was
cool.
But
A-Life already had a little bit of.
Yeah, they were killing it. Like they were a brand.
Yeah.
They had a store in New York. Mm-hmm. They were already like selling wholesale. And, mm-hmm. But this was just the shoes. So they were, the clothing would be separate and the shoes. So yeah, it was, they didn't have the, you know, relationships to kind of like manufacture it properly, and
they were kind of doing it on time as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They're artists. They're like really good artists. Right. And they weren't probably like, they didn't have a lot of experience in you know, the back end of things.
Sure.
So yeah, I just got kind of thrown into it, and it was crazy. I mean, it was a good experience.
I was going to say, what a better way to learn than just diving in.
And then you learn like all aspects of the business too. It was like dealing with distributors and like, oh yeah, old friends from skating and hooking things up and,
wow.
And, like the creative side and then being, yeah. So it was cool.
And then you'd have to go to the factories and check those out. And
yeah.
Like if Charlie wanted like a line of shoes, like how many are we talking about?
Like, well, it got big. Like we were doing it was like popped off. Like it was like first like 10 and then it was like, it'd be like 60 SKUs and like,
wow.
Like it was big.
Oh,
it was
big.
Like
60 different colorways for that season. And like shipping like six times a year. It got big.
And you were designing the shoes?
Well, a lot of it was supposed to be like the guys in New York would have the creative control, but then it was like kind of a, you know, both of us were doing it, and like to get it on time, we're gonna have to like go and. So I learned how to do that. I learned how to like develop them, how to, you know, how to make them get them on time, ship product. Like it was like the whole thing.
So you're doing like Illustrator,
you know? For me, I wasn't really doing Illustrator. No. Like I'm not like a graphic designer.
Okay,
I'm more like conceptual, like, oh, get someone to do, like, let's do this.
Like, this is my, put this piece here, we could do. Okay.
But I never really learned, like, Illustrator and stuff. Kind of wish I did. I mean, I can play around with it.
Sure.
I'm not, like,
because you could go deep into that Illustrator shit.
Yeah. But it was a good experience.
Yeah. Just,
like, learn that industry.
Right.
And it was exciting to, like, you know, and other things came from that. And it was, like, helping other brands and, like, when I was in Korea, because I had this contact in Korea, so we were like, I would bring friends' brands there and actually help Kanye with that pastel line.
Oh, really?
Develop it and do it there. Never came out, but
no, huh? How'd you hook up with?
Yeah, a friend, I know in Canada.
Huh?
Matt George was like he was running that at the time, and he's like actually back at Yeezy again, but. He was like, oh, we need a factory when you make these shoes. And like, I was there. So I was like helping them do it. And that was cool to see that like creative process too.
Yeah.
You know, you like learn more. And,
right.
And yeah, it was cool. And then consulted for other companies doing the same thing.
A-Life's still around, but they don't do shoes. They just are there, you know, clothing and accessories, apparel shit, right?
Yeah.
What happened with the shoe thing? Was it just too difficult or?
Well, it was me and Charlie doing it and it was just getting more difficult. Like those guys there's a lot of moving parts.
Sure. I could imagine.
In New York, they were like being acquired by like, you know, different investors were coming on and all these things. And so we were like a separate company and it was just getting hard to deal with them. And we're just like I was like, I'm going to go do something else.
Oh
like,
yeah. You can't do it anymore.
I was just like, it's time for me to like try something else.
Right. Like, right.
So, but I was working with this guy in China. He's from Taiwan. He's just this like shoe, like guru. He just like makes like these amazing shoes, handmade everything.
Oh, wow.
He did all like the Visvim shoes, you know, that brand. They're like beautiful project. Visvim.
Visvim.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's just like this guru of like shoemaking. Mm. He just taught me a lot. And I was like working with him on like these A-Life boots. And we're making like these $600-$700 boots. They were like beautiful. Mm. At the time it was like a lot.
Sure.
But then I was like, kind of like, oh, like as like a passion project, like I want to do like old skate shoes and like stuff I used to like and try it, you know? So I just started like, that's how kind of Roan started, like just kind of like a little so side project.
Kind of organic.
For just, sure. Just, yeah. Like, let's try this and see how this looks. And like, you know, old Airwalk, like love these, but let's make them like wearable now, you know, like
that's
make
amazing.
Them more elevated and like nice materials.
How long did it take to like actually make it a company? Cause you're just trying to do. Did you realize it? Was it right away? You had the name and everything.
No,
you,
not right away.
No,
probably like a year playing around with it. And and then it was like, oh, I could launch it. I know these guys have a store. We could do this. And so we kind of made like two, it was like two styles, like super small.
Oh.
But I guess it was a brand.
You know?
And it was like the launch of it.
Okay.
But then it would just be like, oh, you know, there's no like, even now it's like, there's no, I'm just kind of doing it my way. There's no like set, like I'm not going by seasons and like,
right.
It's just like at my own pace.
Yeah.
Like when I have a shoe that I want to, when I have an idea,
yeah.
It's like that's when it's going to come out right now.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Kind of. Like,
okay.
It's just like, yeah.
And then Roan, was that just, because I know that was your nickname forever, even in the virtual reality.
It was like a nickname growing up, and then that thing in virtual reality
kind
of was just like, it's so hard to name a brand nowadays, trademark. It's almost impossible.
Seriously.
I did not want that, but someone was like, you know, it makes sense. And it's like, it's like your name. There's a story there.
Totally.
Like if you look at all these like fashion houses, like that's someone's name.
Yeah.
And that's been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
So I was like I didn't like it, but
you
I was like, sure. Like,
well, you got Huff too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
Huff was
totally
the same thing.
Yeah.
And
that, yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember looking at that too. I mean, like it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little weird at first, but then it becomes normal after a while.
Roan. Last name would be more difficult.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know,
Ferguson.
It's so cocky, like. Sorry. But it works.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus it's not like it's a nickname almost.
Right.
It's not like Tony Ferguson shoes.
Right, and it was like associated with those Plan B videos.
Yeah,
that was funny back like when that came out. Because I remember like Tarnowski was like, because I actually didn't see any of that footage for Plan B.
Oh, no.
No. And like I went down for the premiere and he was like, I have a surprise for you. And I was just kind of like, what? And like it opened up like that
you
clip
rapping.
Of me rapping. I was like, huh? Like what? I don't even remember doing that. I think it was like a snippet like playing around like, and it was like on like the big screen. I was like so bummed. like terrible. And then I remember going on tour and everyone was like rapping it. Like,
they loved it, yeah.
Yeah, everyone was rapping it.
That's so sick.
I was
sick.
Like, oh my God.
That's funny, dude. Do you don't remember if it was after like you landed a clip, you got a trick or?
It was at that, I noticed it was at that kickflip no side place.
Yes, but Little Hubba.
It could have been just a snake. You know, there's probably so much of that footage of just fucking around.
Who were the other dudes that were there?
It was Colin.
Okay.
And another friend of ours, Derek. But that was Jake filming.
Jake
so he
Rosenberg.
Was probably getting, do that again or something.
Yeah.
I don't even remember him filming though. Like, I mean, it worked out, but.
It's a memorable clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't do anything in front of the camera.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Yeah. So so Roan, now you do a lot of everything's handmade.
Yeah.
Right? Handmade, Italian. Is it made in Italy, everything?
Yeah, now it's made in Italy. So
you were doing it in Japan?
Yeah, we were like taking Italian, like, you know, Italian leathers and shipping them over to Asia.
Gotcha.
But yeah, now it's like made in Italy.
Mm.
It's like, hand cut, hand lasted, like it's beautiful, like working over there is amazing.
How do we even find these artisans over there?
Yeah,
like is it just word of mouth, or
no,
I mean, they're
just
not
like
friends. Do you Google them?
No. There's like, you know,
Alibaba.
Yeah,
even the guy I told you about, like that I met, like there's like a handful of these kind of people in the world.
Yeah, right.
Like it's not like, yeah.
And how do you even get them to do your
right?
Take
that's
your business
money
like this?
Sure, I mean,
no,
still
no.
Though, it's like
and like this guy I started with, I started. This guy Rock, he's like very picky. He's like only does two brands, and he's like, you have to come to him with the story. Like he's not like a typical factory guy. He'll be like, what's the story? What's the plan? Like I don't know if I want to get involved in this.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how they
right.
are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in Italy, they're like, what's the play here? Like what do you want to do?
And, yeah.
And they're not just like taking the money. It's a different, you know. They're very invested in it.
Yes.
So it's cool.
And the process is amazing. You have some videos on your web that guy's sitting there.
Yeah, those were like the first ones, like hand sewing, like the sole on, like hand cutting, hand like instead of using like machines to press it.
When you do a run of shoes, how many are you making?
Not a lot. It's like limited quantities.
Yeah.
You know, first it was like 100 of each one, and like
and
it depends
on
per size though. I mean,
like of that style, that color.
Okay.
Damn. You know,
because it's really like. There's like a few stores, but it's really online business, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, selling 100 online is, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
right. It's not and bad. That 100 takes a long time to make.
It takes longer to make too.
Right. Yeah.
It takes a lot longer to make.
Now it's interesting because like you're getting something done in China, right? You have like a little tech pack and you send it to them and they give you a sample and stuff.
Totally different process.
I was going to say, how is it working with an artisan and have, I mean, can you even tell them like, hey man, like that stitching, I want it.
Yeah.
Like how do you even.
It's all like, that's why you have to be there. It's all like hands on.
Right.
It's like bring an old shoe. I want it to look like this, but this kind of shape and this last, but like put a different sole on it. It's all just, you know, working. The tech packs don't really work.
They don't work. Yeah, they're not.
I mean, they could look at it and be like, that's wrong. Because most tech packs aren't even really right. It's from a guy who's doing a graphic design on his computer and might not know how to make a shoe. So it's usually together, off.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So you kind of have to just develop it anyway. Okay. So that's why I feel like it's better to just like start from scratch.
Sure.
And like, you know.
So you're not emailing them an Illustrator file.
No.
Faxing them a drawing.
Right.
Can't do it anyway. So.
It's fascinating. I mean, handmade stuff. It's very.
Well, it's also like nostalgic, like the Guy Mariano type shoe right there.
Yeah.
It's like people see that and they freak out.
You did like the KCK.
Yeah. That's, I wanted to do like. Shoes that were like important to me growing up and like recreate them. Like that was it. It was like, oh, I skated in this shoe. I love this shoe. And that was it. It's like not, there's not a lot of like, oh, this is trending right now. And like, we should do that. You know, it was just like,
you just wanted to dig
and one. And a lot of these shoes weren't being redone. I was like, these are our classics kind of like, they're not being redone. So I started, I just pick a shoe every like 6 months or something.
Oh yeah.
And do it. But, and this is one based off of guys of the Mariano.
That's
more amazing. Like a running silhouette, but
right.
But, that's great, dude.
And then like I'm excited because now we're gonna start to like soon, we're gonna start to like we're gonna implement like a new tier where it actually is like skatable and more like accessible for kids.
Oh.
Like even if it's a couple shoes, it's like people can actually buy it, you know, because I love like having this elevated thing. Like I like product. I love it.
Right.
But like my background is skate and I like want people to skate them.
So
I definitely want to do that and make some that like kids can skate in.
Okay.
Like it's hard to say no to stores and like you can't sell that in a skate shop. $600. So it'd be nice to like have
you can
both.
Do it Supreme.
I mean, that'd
be nice to have both.
It's a beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks comfortable.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's fun.
Size 10 and a half. No, but how do you, so the skateable shoes, how is that going to be? Is that also handmade or is that going to kind of be at a different level
it
as
might
well?
Be like, it, what I'm trying to do is like keep the quality like very high, but then it'll be like a different process, like doing like vulcanized, but like really nice in Japan. And like, it's still like quality, but it's affordable. Like kids can get into it and skate it. And
totally.
So I feel good about that.
Right.
Yeah. You
know. Like the other shoes that you guys make, very classic soles. I don't know. I'm not a shoe guy, so forgive me if I'm.
Yeah, I think the leather.
Leather wrap,
yeah. Yeah, the wrapping and stuff. And this looks like a whole different process.
Yeah, this is different.
Like, how
this
does that.
This isn't as, like, crafted as those ones.
Okay.
This is like, I mean, it's still, like, hand stitched and everything, but it's put onto a sole. You know, it's made in Italy, so there's, like, a lot more attention to detail, but it's a different process.
Yeah.
You know, this is, like, a Vibram outsole, which is, like, a branded sole from Italy. Like, so it's a different process.
How long does one shoe take? Like a set
to manufacture? Like hours, you know, like maybe like 4 or 5 hours.
4 or 5 hours for one shoe.
One pair.
Right. And then don't you guys bake them or something for like another?
Not this kind.
Oh, no,
that's just vulcanized.
But the, okay. Hmm. It's It's interesting, man. The shoe world. I mean, I mean, Buscemi has his high end. You know, do you ever talk to Buscemi?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's great.
But he's a big help. In the beginning.
Yeah.
I showed him what I was doing in the beginning. I was like, "What do you think?"
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's this network of like people like you have, and you can like, you know, it's like traveling for 20 years
totally.
And like
all those friendships
yeah, or relationships that you have,
and, right.
All the distributors that like I'm dealing with are like old skate distributors or like, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
I feel like anytime you, anywhere in the world, I mean, people just used to skate, you know,
yeah,
there's skaters everywhere.
I feel like skateboarding has done a lot for me, like maybe like on and off the board, but maybe more like off just cause.
Oh, seriously. Yeah.
Just cause like people like know you and then they're like, oh yeah, no, I used to skate. Like, yeah, like it's, fuck with him, like let's do it with him instead, or you know, it's like it's kind of crazy.
I bet
you can't get away from it.
Yeah, and then they're reciting the old Plan B rap, you know.
Yeah.
While sewing together the shoe.
Yeah. When does this drop? When does this shoe?
This one comes out in June. There's three colors and
Three colors.
Yeah, and this will come out in June.
Okay,
you need to send Guy a pair.
Yeah. How does it? So you limited runs.
Yeah,
and you just, because you said like one pair takes days, mm-hmm. or I mean, sorry, hours. So to do a whole run of shoes, I mean, must be like,
yeah,
you can't just like place another order.
That's why you can't really like do seasons like this. Mm. Like, you know, I actually, when I started, I had a showroom in Paris and they showed in like Milan and Paris and they were like, when's the next season coming? Where are the samples? And like, it kind of doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You kind of have to do it at your own pace.
Sure.
If you want to do like nice stuff.
Yeah, man.
But then there's the other side, like, you know, if we do make more accessible, like what we are, but it'll, you know, then it can be more seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, get it into like the skate shops I want it in and like a couple key retailer partners. And, but mostly it's online and it's like changing. Like people are buying shoes online, like a lot more than... You know,
everything online. It's nuts.
It like a couple of years ago, it was not as, you know, it was hard.
Sure.
You don't know a new brand. You don't know your size. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Are you like, does it scare you to like seeing like brands like Huff stop making skate shoes, like entering that skate shoe market, you know?
I mean, no, not really. Yeah. I feel like it's an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're like, an apparel brand, you know, like they're, that's like their focus probably. And that's where they're killing it.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe like shoes was harder. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah. And they're not doing, you know, high end.
Yeah.
Shoes.
I want to have like a point of difference, not your typical skate shoe. That's the, it won't be like, it won't look like, you know, your, it'll be different.
Yeah.
So,
well, are you, I saw with Javier Nunez, he was modeling, I think, in some of the shots.
Yeah.
Is he skating in those too?
Yeah, he skated in those. So I like he did one of the lookbooks out there, and Curtis,
mm-hmm. Buchanan
shot it all, and it, like I gave Hobbs a couple pairs that Curtis was like, he loves them. He's like skating in them.
Yeah,
I was like, that's amazing.
Because
he always used to skate in like Tim's or like he was like skating in everything.
That's, totally,
I thought that was fresh.
So where are you gonna take this thing, bro? I mean, you're just doing it, like you said, kind of a passion project, you know, but I can see you up there with, I can see you surpassing Buscemi, you know what I'm saying?
Well, there's I wish I could talk more about it, but there's a couple big things happening.
Oh, really?
Brand with like bigger companies and, if that goes on, then it'll be a lot more exposure.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Okay. You know?
It's just been like building the brand for the last like couple of years. It's like there has to be something there, you know. It's there's brands that pop off overnight and that happens, but I'm from more of like, shit takes time, like you need to pay your dues and like get there.
Yeah,
you know,
like, yeah, and you'll be around for longer too. Some of these brands that pop off, they're done pretty quickly.
Yeah sometimes that's the way it goes.
Right,
go up too fast and
patience.
Yeah, like everyone, they always like, oh, I've been doing this brand for a year, I'm over it.
Yeah.
You're
still a baby.
Supreme, 25 years they've been doing that.
Yeah. Seriously.
So like that, like, takes patience. It takes time. Yeah, you know, man. It's like
paid off for them.
Yeah.
This episode is supported by Shake Junt. Yep, the company that keeps you going in these streets. Need that perfect grip for your flick? Bearings that just don't stop? Bolts to keep your trucks on tight? Look no further. ShakeJunt.com has what you need. Grip, bearings, bolts, skateboards, rails, riser pads, grip tape cleaner, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, and everything else in between. Treat yourself and save a couple bucks by entering 9 Club at checkout. Yep, 20% off everything. Just enter 9 Club, N-I-N-E-C-L-U-B at ShakeJunt.com. Get there while you can.
How long you been doing Roan? Because like you said, you were doing the A-Life thing, yeah. And then you met that dude.
It's like 3 years now.
3 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you're still a toddler.
Yeah.
Like you were, like we're talking about the time and the patience, yeah. You know?
And I'm like, I need to focus on this. I'm busy. Like I do other things and other projects, but I feel like now is a good time for this.
Yeah,
and, like, do the skate stuff and tie it all into like art. You know, our heritage. And
sure. Any other shoes you got your eyes on, man? Any other?
There's so much to pull from in skating. That's the thing.
There is. Yeah.
And if you do it a different way, there's so much. Like,
yeah.
You know, like everyone's on the 90s right now, but like the 80s, like there's so much stuff. There's like, you know, and like I feel like a lot of stuff that people aren't doing.
What's funny, what Skechers would always take with skateboarding shoes and kind of alter them a little bit and sell them. It's like good to see a skateboarder take skate silhouettes and make them into something beautiful.
Yeah.
Other than, you know what I mean? Other than ripping off skaters. It's like
it looks.
Yeah, it's awesome to see this.
And I feel you can do it in a certain way where like luxury brands they're doing skate shoes now.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago, no. But now they're doing these skate-inspired shoes and that's cool, but like, are they going to be doing it in 2 years or is it authentic? Yeah. You know, like,
why are they even doing it?
Like, I mean, it's cool, but I don't know. I feel like you have to do it in a certain way, like pay homage to this. Like I'm saying I'm ripping this off. I'm making it nicer. You know, it's not like this is my design. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is my design, but it's, you know, it's everything is like, a reinterpretation of something else.
Right. Totally. Like you've tweaked it in your own.
I think there's a way to like say that.
You know,
and like tell that story.
Right. Right.
Where like fashion is just like in, out. Like it's, we're going to use this. We're going to recreate. And it's not authentic.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You looking for people to sponsor for the new line?
Yeah.
You know? How much are you trying to get to a certain like price point with the skatable ones?
Yeah, it'll be
still like,
no, accessible.
It'll be $100 something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like even cheap. Skate shoes now are like 60, 80 bucks.
Yeah. It'll be in that zone.
Range.
And I want it to be even like cheaper.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like for like, a good price for a good quality product. That's what I want. And then you can have your stuff up here, like, oh, do something at Dover Street. But then it's in the other stuff, it's like in skate shops.
Sure.
And it's like, I mean, it'll still mostly be online, I'm sure.
Right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
But I mean, so.
Well, it's great.
I want it to be, I want kids to be able to skate in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's just being a skater and making these shoes. Like, you just like, want.
Yeah. And I also feel like I'm doing this, like, out of the industry, like, give back to something. You know, like.
Totally.
Give, you know, sponsor kids. Like, give back a little more. It's hard to, like, give a $600 pair of shoes away. Hard to promo.
It is.
I bet you when you posted those, I bet so many people are hitting you up like, what is up with those? That's amazing.
I get a lot of like, I need these. I want these. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I need, I want.
But like, you want to hook up your homies. But
Everyone pays.
Yeah.
Everyone pays.
Yeah.
But especially when I'm doing it myself and it's like, it's hard to do that. Like, you can't have like, oh, just give a bunch of stuff away.
It's not like you're
making. So it takes longer to build. Sure. That's what I know.
It's not like you're making a sweatshirt for $12 and you can give it to somebody. You know,
these are fucking, these are your costs on the sweatshirt.
Well, you know, give or take.
Get you cheaper.
I don't know. It's like, depends what kind of blank we use. But, hey, congrats though. This is great, man.
Thank you.
This is, I love, what other colors in this? White, are we looking at?
Yeah, white, black, and gray.
White, black, and gray?
I was going to bring them, but
Oh yeah, but, not ready yet.
No, I just didn't know how much you wanted, like a whole table.
Oh, we wanted.
Oh, yeah, we could deck the whole place out. Dude. Right.
Yeah, more trade show. I have more shoes.
Oh, you got some other?
I brought shoes for you too.
Oh, thank you, bro. What do we got here, man? This is
This is the new
95
KCK.
Oh wow, dude. Oh,
that's like a, kind of an updated version of that.
Damn!
Holy,
look at those, bro. So,
it's beautiful.
That is a great looking shoe, dude. Oh, what? Shit, he's got a whole...
Damn, look at those.
Ooh,
I brought these.
They each have
you.
Their own little bag.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
look at there
those
you
are
go.
The original ones, like with the hand stitched. Like,
oh, these are from for me?
Those are for you, yeah.
Thank... Wow.
Look at that.
Damn, dude. That's
I don't think I've ever owned a $500 pair of shoes. So,
just going to wear them around the house?
I know. Skate Jesus him. Christ, man.
They just skate them.
Should I?
Probably not the best.
Yeah.
It's like a little
don't
slippery.
Don't
leave that to Javier, man. Yeah. This is what's a good year? That's not the tire.
No, it's basically like the way it's hand stitched around the sole. So like a Goodyear welt is like how they hand stitch boots. Like they'll stitch the upper onto the midsole with like stitching all around. You know when you see the mm-hmm. stitching all around. But what he does is he does that underneath that and then wraps the thing
so it's
it.
A style
yeah it's a style it's a construction good. Style of the wow. construction
damn dude
I'm gonna put these on right now I just need to know should, how, I need to know how $500
good
man hold on I gotta tie it gotta get the whole five man ooh
day. Let me. Oh, those look
I'm
good,
not
Chris.
I'm saying this because you're sitting here, but these are fucking.
Those will. They'll just feel better as you
over
wear
time.
Them. Over time, because it's like there's a natural cork, like midsole, and that molds to your foot, and that leather will just get like softer. So the more you wear them, they will. They last a long time. Wow. They're cool.
Do you have any like recommendations on how to clean these shoes?
You just like water and like a hot like cloth, wet cloth. That's it.
Oh,
don't
really?
Put anything else on leather
okay.
ever.
No,
like sprays and cleaning shit. I would not
Doesn't
suggest
work.
It. Not on like nice material.
Man, thank
get the
you,
Windex
bro.
Out.
But yeah, that was like you know that was a shoe I thought was important and like
this is a great. I mean,
definitely. No one's doing yeah. and you know. There's a lot of those shoes in our our history like that.
There's so many.
And brands have come and gone, and they're like not doing them anymore. Mm-hmm. Or like,
can know. I suggest the Audio Hamilton?
I knew those coming.
Was that? I knew those
dude,
coming.
Dude, don't do that, please.
What'd you, Kelly? Yeah.
Was that yours?
No, I just it was my. I
that was your
that
shoe.
Was my shoe. I love that remember. Shoe. Audio really? Hamilton. Very simple, very basic. You know, one of Audio's more basic shoes.
Yeah.
But I'm just kidding. Don't do that. It's not, I don't know if that would be.
I think
good,
you look good in those ones, Chris.
You know what? I'm a fan of white shoes.
Yeah.
I really am. Nice. You know.
Damn, that's crazy, Chris. Seeing Chris in those $500 shoes.
Oh boy. Huh?
I brought you guys some hats as well.
Oh,
for these.
Yeah. Oh
sorry,
dude.
I don't have shoes.
Oh, thank you. Dude, thank you. That's so rad. Thank you, man.
I'll have to share this.
That's amazing, bro.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to do with myself. I want to go outside and like show people what I'm wearing, you know?
When you go on your boosted board, you can cruise
you
around
go.
The $500 shoes.
I'm just going to go for a walk around the marina and these things, man, see if people fucking stop me. It is crazy, though, because some these types of shoes are not affordable for everybody,
right.
You know? Like, I don't think I would actually... You know, a Buscemi or this or that. Like, I'm just not a clothing guy or right. a shoe guy, but there are people. I mean, I think it's a big market. You know,
yeah,
I mean, just look sure. what Buscemi's done. It's fucking
yeah,
incredible.
I mean, you know, males are buying more sneakers than women's handbags nowadays.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's
like, so it's like people are spending that, like, that kind of money
okay.
on like sneakers and like luxury shoes for sure. That's why every luxury house has like sneakers now.
Yeah.
Big,
you know?
Yeah. Big men's
it's
division.
All that's like the growth of sneakers.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
And like skate looking sneakers. Like, you know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's like a trend, but
These fit perfectly, man. I'm snug as a bug in a rug, man.
It fits your style too, though. You know,
this is totally my stees. Yeah, totally my stees. You know what? I could rock the.
Nah, I can't see you in those.
You can't see me in those. No, bro.
In these ones?
Yeah. You couldn't see. Yeah, I don't know. No.
I couldn't see it either.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Go for a simple. I can see Kelly in those.
I'm very simple. I'm very simple, dude.
Yeah. You know? All whites.
Yeah. Do you have like a bestseller or something? Do you have ones that just popped?
These ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the best. I can imagine. It brought it back too, like the same. Yeah. The white and black, just basic. Yeah.
Basic.
Do you have some apparel as well, or is it mostly?
No, but we're going to be doing that. Nice. Going to be doing that with like that new tier. Like,
oh yeah?
Yeah. Just do like nice sweat suits and like made in Canada and like a little more like, you know, accessible.
Yeah.
But yeah, it needs like that to go like kind of like with the story and yeah, a little more. But for now it's just been shoes.
You still skating, bro? Maybe roll around on the board at all?
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying. Yeah. When I can.
Ample side, go there.
Yeah. I actually like skate more when I'm away. Like I'll go on these trips and I'll skate when I'm there just because I'm busy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kids, like, you know, but I'll skate more in China. I'll go to Italy. I'll skate more there.
Okay.
I'll get like a couple of days where I get to skate. Like,
sure.
So that's
it's like, easier when you go out of the country.
Totally. And, yeah. I mean, it's just like us back in the day, like it's, you get more shit done when you're away.
Right.
It seems like anyway.
When you're in your home base, you're just so comfortable. And then you go out into the world and it's easier.
Yeah. I'm trying to like stay moving and like I've always skated.
Yeah.
If I stop, I'm done. Like I won't be, you know, I just feel like it'll be gone. Like if you quit for like a while and try and
No video like, parts though. We can't think. No.
Not this.
Coming soon.
Yeah. Maybe.
I bet if you put up something. I put some clips out of you skating the shoes, it would go viral.
There you go.
Just because those $500 shoes. Get a backside flip, fake manual half cab out, dude. Oh.
Yes.
Every time I see that trick, I think of backs 180, fakie 50, 180, and backside flip, fakie 50. Or backside flip, fakie manual. I'm like, that's a Tony Ferguson.
Backside flip,
fakie. Yeah, or I always think of backside 180, fakie manual, too.
Yeah.
You were that?
I've only got a couple of tricks. I just keep doing the same thing.
But everybody's got their go-tos. Yeah. I mean, Reynolds got his frontside flip.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Everybody's got their shit.
Superpower.
Mm-hmm. That's Reynolds kind of said.
Yeah,
it was like
Huff has the ollie. Like it's like these are their signature moves.
Yeah, but it's like Huff can do other
shit. It's
but
smart, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like that's my signature trick.
Yeah. Right.
It's like more like marketing.
Neen's got the heel flip. Yeah. You know, Neen can do other shit, but people want to see that heel flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you know, you guys. Well, other than I'm sorry. Yeah, right. But you guys, we didn't talk much about like the chocolate tour. That was like Chris's introduction, kind
of. Well, it was my introduction. I wasn't a part of the whole skits and all that stuff. Yeah. I had footage in Daniel Castillo's part.
Yeah, yeah.
But you played a damn good cop.
Thanks.
Damn good. I think you could be in that if the shoe thing does acting could be.
Hit up Spike.
Yeah.
I had a good director.
Was that hard to do?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like I think like no one wanted to do it. That's basically like you want to do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. This is what we're going to do. And like Spike's like telling you what, like
kind of what to say.
Yeah. This is like what you need to say. And it was fun. It was like, it was a good, like, it was funny. We were in costume. Like, I think we were way out in like Palm Desert or something, like full car. Like I was like in a highway patrol out there, and like cars would pull up and they'd be all shook and I'd be like stopping cars.
No.
Like, what do you guys got? And like everyone's dying laughing. I was like, dude, like, and I was like, can I get in trouble for this?
Yeah, like, seriously, impersonating
like
a cop.
Yeah. Like out here, like it was funny. And because everything with Spike was just like guerrilla style, like we're gonna go shoot it and
sure
and get it done. And
you forget. You're like, dude, this guy's a fucking Hollywood director, dude.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, he was on his way then.
On his way then. Were doing stuff for like even Hot Chocolate Tour, it was like, we're lighting shit on fire and fireboards, and we're just like, dude, this guy feels safe with them.
What's funny is like even going way back to like the Ottawa days,
mm-hmm.
we didn't talk about this, but it's kind of like, it's a weird thing. Like I was skating as a kid and I was like sponsored by the shop and they were like, yeah, that's Transworld. We're going to have a photographer here tomorrow. You guys show up and go skate with them. And I showed up and we went and skated, like showed up and it was Spike.
Spike Jones.
Who was a photographer for Transworld. Yeah.
You didn't even know back then. Though.
I didn't really know who it was. I was like, that's a fucking photographer? This guy's like a little kid. Like, and then it was him and Kevin Wilkins. And that, we went and skated with them all day. And that was my first photo ever in a magazine.
First photo?
From Spike.
That's crazy.
What was the trick?
It was like a backside lip slide on a curb.
Back lip on
but
a curb?
But he shot it. It was like, it's like crazy photo even to this day. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy photo.
Like on a red curb or what,
like,
kind of
like double-sided curb?
Double.
Like,
oh, sick.
Yeah, that was my first photo ever.
Gotta look that up somehow.
I know.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Also, too, you did in the 4-on-1, you and Rick were dressed up as, I forget the whole, it was like a business scenario or something. Oh,
yeah. No, that was it was like the intro to Costin's part.
Yeah. The intro to Costin's part, yeah.
Oh my God.
Casting agent, something like that.
That was funny.
Was it, yeah.
Russ's casting agency. Rick went and got like red wigs and like red matching leather jackets. And like just fucking around that girl.
Oh,
like,
God.
I was dying. Rick was so funny. I couldn't like keep my composure. Like we were like, had like a 10-speed bike, like in the middle of the freeway, like went down to Ralph's and were interviewing people.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. I was like laughing the whole time. I couldn't even, it was amazing.
Dude, Rick is hilarious, dude. Yeah, oh, we want him on the show. I don't think he wants
he
to
won't do,
it.
Do it.
He won't do it.
He sat down for a little bit.
The
Lakai premiere.
Yeah, you gotta get him on.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. He doesn't like to do shit like this, though.
I don't think he likes to be, like, in the limelight.
No,
like,
Did he ever do, like, a Crail couch or anything?
Never.
Like?
Never.
No.
Dude. People request him a lot to come on the show.
Yeah.
And
Rick, come on.
Rick, come on, dude.
We could talk about Russ's casting and all kinds of shit.
Side project.
Yeah. Damn,
that was fun.
What about the old World Park days and stuff like that? I know you were like with Rick a bunch back then and stuff, but you weren't were you living down here at that point or were you still in Vancouver?
I think I was just staying with Rick living in Vancouver.
Right.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
I think at the time we were filming for Plan B. So
like
the World Park was going on.
Right.
I think I had a couple clips from the park in the video, but it was around that time.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't spend like a ton of time at that World Park.
You weren't crawling through the roof to go to the warehouse and stealing like, shit.
I think I was around for a couple of those, like just seeing people like taking shit and, you know, like, whoa.
Daniel Castillo going through the fucking ceiling and shit, like
to the product room.
Yeah, the product
room.
So no bunk beds.
No, I didn't stay in the bunk beds.
No. You and Rick were more civilized.
Yeah,
I was had a like, place to stay.
Staying
and
uptown.
Yeah. But I mean, those were great times, though, man.
Yeah,
you look back at
times.
That shit, and you're just like, dude, the shit that they were doing back then. Fucking Guy Mariano, fucking fakie hard flip on the thing. Like, it's crazy.
I just saw that. Yeah, like no one can do that like that today. How long ago was that?
Bro.
30?
It's 40, 45 years ago.
56 years ago.
But you look at the clip and you're like, dude, that was like...
It
could be yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like so insane. A lot of that stuff. And even with... Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other thing, but like Guy and like even Eric and Guy and like they would like do stuff that was never filmed.
Yeah.
And
I bet.
It's like... legendary stuff that was never filmed.
Yeah.
And if you're around, you saw it. If not, like, don't feel like filming it again. Like, you know, it's just it was almost like, like with Gino and Keenan, like it was cool, like not to skate that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They would like purposely almost like not skate for a long time. And what was cool to like be able to hop on your board and like do shit right away. That was like a talent.
Yeah.
Like, I think they like really tried to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like almost like,
and that made him more like mysterious and more like you wanted to see
what
they had. Like they came out
with
something.
Guy obviously was not skate for like a long time and then just step on it.
Oh, when he came back?
Just like natural ability. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Were you in the when you switch shove, crooked grind the rail, were you there in the background?
In the credits?
The Vancouver. Oh, no, in the credits. Yeah, I was there when he switched. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was in the credits.
That was, and Tim 50-50'd it, and then he switched. That was in the credits. We were all, it was like in the valley somewhere. We were all like hanging out. And like, how amazing. Like, it's just like, it's hard to, when you see it now, someone to be like, oh, that's cool. But like, you don't know how ahead it is at the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's, that was like light years ahead.
Yeah, that was
psycho.
So.
You guys were just there chilling. Like, you just watched this amazing shit.
Tim was like, I 50-50'd it before. Did you? Like, you just, like, guy just totally fucking one-upped him.
I mean, there was lots of stuff like that that just never even got. I feel like
did we ask this already
with Meza, but like wasn't that in his part?
It's on a little rail. He's probably like, yeah, it's a little tiny rail. Like,
I don't know, dude, just whatever, bro.
The word got out there.
Yeah, I heard that
everyone
too.
Everyone was expecting it to be in his part.
Man, what a fucking talented group of people, man.
Great times.
I mean, so I'm even blessed to just be a part of that legacy and shit. You know, it's fucking
Back then we didn't really. I mean, I didn't like. We were like influenced by like. Our team, like, you know, like we weren't looking outside.
Yeah.
We weren't really looking at magazines at that time.
Right. Right.
It was like, just like, what did Guy do? What did Eric do? What did Carol do? What did, you know, it's like, you're like influenced by that.
Right.
And you're in a bubble. Like you're in your own world.
Like, you kind of know what's going on out there, but you're not really focused.
Yeah.
You're just, let's go skate with our buddies who are like the best in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
it was like interesting time. Like,
who was the most impressive? Like Guy or like Eric or something. I know they're both different, but still. Like,
I mean, both in their own way, I think.
Right.
I think Guy's like, I don't know, maybe more natural ability. Mm-hmm. And Eric's just, I don't know. Who's the best of anything.
Right. But wasn't Guy kind of going off on his own in like the mouse days, the film on his own kind of? Like, were you around for a lot of his stuff, or?
I mean, he would go with Tim? I think how he got that video done, he was like, didn't want to be around everyone skating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know why. You know, he's just like, I could go do this. And so he had Tim Dowling. And those two would partner up and just go do their stuff.
Yeah.
And we didn't really know what he was like doing. He wasn't like checking in with his footage every week. It was just like, he was just accumulating this like insane part.
Yeah, I think even Tim was saying that they would just go off and just felt like Guy had like, hey, I want to be here. I want to do this at this point in time, like right in the morning.
He definitely knew what he wanted to do. Right. It wasn't like, I'm going to go out and skate and see what I get, which that's what I do.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I think that's what happens. Most people do that.
I think he was like, I'm going to switch Pop Shove the tail. You know, it was like crazy shit.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew.
Right.
I mean, I feel like even just the style of everyone, like, you know, it rubs off on you, like how Guy skates or how Keenan did this or Gino put, like, it all, you're influenced by all that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, it's super cool.
Yeah. I was hugely influenced by all that stuff. I mean, I go back now and watch a video and I'm like, that's what makes me, that's what gives me the feeling.
Gives you that feeling.
You know, for sure. It's crazy.
It's funny because all the tricks they were landing back then, it was like their first time, or it's like your first time doing it as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's so robotic now. These kids do the same trick over and over, they film it out of spot. Mm-hmm. It looked like you guys, those
like learning it on camera.
Learning it right there on camera.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely how plan B was.
Yeah.
Sure. You're learning tricks on camera. Never been done, like have to do this.
Yeah.
That's why some of it's like, in my part anyway, it's like you're just doing it for the... It's the first time you've ever landed it.
Right.
And then you're off. You're done. Never do it again.
You're right. Yeah. You're not going to the skate park practicing it and then going to fucking go film
it. Not bringing out a during demo.
Yeah.
I saw a trick you did. Was it switch tray flip tail slide?
Yeah, like that one.
I was like, dude, what the
fuck? That one's never been done again.
There are those tricks, though. Yeah. You're just like, I'm never trying that ever again.
Yeah.
It was just trying to, like, I think those guys were pushing it so much, like unquestionable. Like, they, like, Rick and Mike, like that was where this first switch tray flips, first kickflip burials, like those were like the first time they were ever being, you know?
Yeah.
And you can just tell by the way they move. Like, it's so much like an organic, like, style, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, just looks more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Man. It looks like they're literally just skating when now all the kids are just like repetitive. All right, I got a trick. It's like still cool to watch, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just different to watch someone back then than it is now.
I mean, I think, like you said, it's like those videos have like this, they create this feeling and like, And yeah, there's a lot put into them.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, the filming for years and the soundtracks and like.
Dude, soundtracks.
Yeah.
That was key.
Nowadays you can't even do those, some of those soundtracks.
Yeah. No, and you can't even do a lot of shit now.
Right. And that's huge. I mean, God, it's sad that you can't, you know?
Yeah.
Because songs are so.
Yeah.
They make that feeling as well with the skating, you know? I don't know. I'm gonna cry, man. I just love that shit.
Chris, did you ever choose any of your songs?
No.
It was done. It was already.
By the time I got around, it was like these dudes have it. Yeah. You know, like I don't need to worry about shit.
Yeah.
You know, Ty's fucking. You're what am not I gonna tell there, like, Ty? Like, hey, I want this song. You know.
Yeah.
Even the Transworld video. No, just I gave them a song and they were like, "Oh, that's cool, but I think we'll use this."
Yeah,
you know,
they had it.
They had it down for sure. Well, dude, I mean, listen, bro, I'm stoked you came through, dude, and like showed us this new shit, the new Roan stuff.
Oh, thanks.
And man, I just wish you the best of success with this, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, let us know when you have the skate shoes.
Yeah, collabo.
Oh,
yeah, man.
We talk about it so much on the show. But
how many of those ever?
No, not none of them. No collabos have ever happened.
Just one.
You know? Just one.
Which one?
The S.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, there you go. With S. Yeah.
But that's done. You know, we want to do the Roan. You know, we'll get it out there, bro.
My people will send you something over and we'll have a look at it.
We'll go Lux.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'd love to, you know, do something, man.
Yeah, man.
Finally do something. But listen, can we give you some Nine Club stuff to go to please. Take home?
Yeah.
A mug? You a coffee guy?
Yeah.
Drink coffee?
Yeah.
Kelly, we go grab Tony
What size t-shirt?
Large.
Large.
Video parts? Let's get a new Tony.
Maybe working on something. Yeah, can't talk about it.
Oh, no, not yet.
Let's get some food in Guangzhou.
Let's go. We're meeting them in China next week.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Guangzhou.
Let's, I mean, like you said, you're out there skating. You ever film clips and shit?
Yeah, I filmed little things here and there for fun.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I've been trying to skate. It'd be cool to put something out.
Yeah.
But I just need time. It's time. It's like, that's the... Busy doing everything else, you make time.
I know. Yeah. And you got kids, you said?
Two kids. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Boy, girl, girl.
Two boys.
Two boys.
And it's busy.
Do they skate?
Yeah. Well, Anthony, my first son, he's seven and he skates now.
Oh, really?
He skates. He break dances. He's like a little B-boy.
Oh, so do you ever go to the parks with them?
Yeah, and I go take all the time. Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. My other son's just a year and a half, so no, but.
Do you ever pop in the old videos and say, look at your dad?
No, he knows too much.
Oh, does he?
He's like, you're a pro skater, like jump over the fire hydrant. Like, he's...
Yeah,
he's like,
body.
Like crazy double sets. Like, do that, and then we'll go skate. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, bro. Yeah. That's amazing, though, dude. How old is your other one?
Just a year and a half.
A year and a half.
So he's young. He's new.
New human.
New one.
What's his name?
Luca.
Luca.
Man, Luca.
Congratulations, bro.
Thanks.
Maybe a third.
That's awesome. No.
No.
Negative.
Everybody always says that. Two, three. I think I'm done.
I think we're done.
Here's Mark Appleyard drew this for us.
Sick.
Is
awesome.
Good. Is he's a great artist.
Yep.
Fellow Canadian.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Where did Appleyard grow up? Toronto.
Yeah.
Switch flip manual mug.
Is that
this
you?
Was, man. This was the video. We shared the we were both.
That was not dude. That was a chocolate tour.
Oh,
wrong video. Wrong company.
My bad. I get him confused.
Have I've you, done have so you many. Been back to the courthouse lately?
Yeah. I can't even ollie up that thing anymore. fucking massive, bro. And a large shirt and a large long sleeve tee for
Thank you.
If it gets cold up there in Vancouver.
Yeah, man.
You know? Listen, again, like I said, dude, much success.
Thank you.
For everything, dude. And the shoes
you
look great.
Too. Thank they look you. Fantastic. You guys are off to
Thank you, bro.
Huge things, I know it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Come back when you have the the skate line and
we'll
stuff, and you know, and thank
skate
you
team.
Again for these, man. These are so.
You're welcome.
It's like I'm sitting here with pillows under my feet. You know, it's like, man, they are. That bunion's already gone.
Yeah, elegant and comfortable, man. You know,
oh, I feel
next
great.
Week he's gonna show up in a suit with those on. Like,
I feel great, bro.
Yeah, dude.
No, thank you so much, Tony.
No problem. Hey, thanks, man.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
As always.
Thanks.
Tony. Any last words before we go? Any words of life advice or
I mean, just do you, you know, whatever. I guess these things are like, it's, I think they're cool because maybe it gives kids like inspiration, like how this guy got hooked up or how he made it or how he maybe like made it out of skating and like, so I don't know,
still involved with skating.
Yeah, so I think like, I think they're important.
Yeah,
like it's cool.
Yeah,
to do it, and if it inspires like one kid, and yeah,
totally,
that's it.
Yeah,
we won.
I think there's a lot more. I mean, you could always be involved with skating, but there's so much more out there to do. You know, be creative and the shoes.
Yeah,
and
skateboarding's not, it doesn't have to be in like this little like space.
Yes.
Like skateboarding was supposed to be like, it was all over the place. It was just creative, you know, in the 80s. And it doesn't need to be like, oh, you're in this box.
Right.
Like, Roan is still a skate brand.
Yeah.
$600. It's still a skate brand.
Yeah.
It's rooted in skateboarding.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
People are doing totally different brands that like don't look like skate brands. It's, I don't know. It's a cool time.
Yeah, that's why it's rad. I mean, like when we had Buscemi on the show, it's like, dude, he worked at DC.
Yeah.
Designed some of the most iconic skate shoes.
Yeah.
You know, fucking now he's selling the same shit.
Yeah.
In the same.
Yeah. I think we're all like, you know, that's where we, that we're all rooted there, you know, and like even the entrepreneurial, like comes from, you're a skater, you're like your own boss, you're like your own person. Like you have to figure it out. So
yeah.
I think a lot of those, like, I don't know, a lot of our friends that have made it and done really well, it's like, it's just all skateboarding, you know?
Totally. And I think also a lot of people, like, they want to stay in skateboarding, but it just goes to show you, you don't have to, you know, work at the warehouse or be a team manager or, you know,
start a luxury footwear brand.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but there's so much more you could do with that skating, you know.
And even more nowadays, I think.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
I feel great in these shoes, bro. Seriously, I feel amazing. Kelly, anything else? I know you're a shoe guy. I know if there's any
just keep doing what you're doing, man. You're doing. This like, you get us stoked. Like, it's crazy when you make a shoe like that. It brings so much memories back that gets us all happy. So yeah,
that's cool.
Thank you for doing that.
I mean,
and for all the years of skateboarding, geez, you know, like me growing up watching it made me, you skated a spot by my house. I always tripped out that you skated it. In Chocolate Tour, you had to kick with front nose to fakie off like a ledge off a three stair. It was like a kind of a tall, Costin had heel with front nose on it.
Yeah.
That's literally up the street from my house.
Really?
I was like, Tony Ferguson was up the street from my house.